I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Restore. As our good shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient. Sufficient to restore our soul. And being sufficient, we want or lack nothing. Is my soul hungry? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Is my soul thirsty? He leads me beside quiet waters. Is my soul wandering? He leads me on right paths for His name's sake. The Lord our shepherd is fully sufficient to restore my soul. Now, not only do we find our sufficiency in the Lord our shepherd, but we also find our security in Him. He restores our security. For, even though I walk through the darkest valleys, I will fear no evil. For You are with me, and Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. It is at this point in Psalm 23 that the picture changes from shepherd to host. Not only is the Lord our shepherd and we His sheep, but also the Lord is our host. And we are His guests. His guests at His table. And so we read, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a sweet picture of our intimate communion with the Lord our host, who welcomes and accepts us. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We are wandering souls, and He welcomes us. And when I wander from Him, He pursues me, and His goodness and His mercy follow hard after me, so that He finds me and restores me into communion with Him. How does He do it? How does the Lord my host restore my communion with Him when I am so prone to wander? We see in the 25th verse, the beginning of the answer, the fifth verse of the 23rd Psalm. He welcomes me to His table. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. The Lord is our host, and we are His guests, and He prepares a table before us. And the table is lavishly prepared, laden with food and drink, so that we may feast on the abundance of His house and drink from His river of delights. Our host has prepared a table before us at great cost to Himself. For at His Last Supper, He prepared a table before His disciples in the presence of His enemies. For Judas was present at that table, the enemy of Jesus, who only pretended to be a disciple, the deceiver, the betrayer. Yes, the betrayer himself, Judas, was present at that table. Jesus prepared a table before His disciples in the presence of His enemies. Yet an even greater enemy of Jesus was present at the table that night. Satan was there. Yes, Satan was present at that Last Supper. For we read in John chapter 13 that when Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. And filled with the devil, Judas went out from that table and betrayed Jesus. And Jesus was crucified. Just as 2,000 years ago, the Lord our host prepared a table before His disciples in the presence of His enemies at great cost to Himself. So today, the Lord our host prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies at great cost to Himself. The bread of His table signifies the cost that He paid when He bore our sins in His body on the cross. And the cup of His table signifies the great cost that He paid when He shed His blood for our redemption. And as He welcomes us to this table that He has prepared before us, He shows our enemies, both human and demonic, that He restores our communion with Him. Yes, He restores our communion with Him. Prone to wander though we are, He restores our communion with Him by the merits of His broken body, by the merits of His shed blood. When we come to the Lord's table, as we have this morning, when we come to this table that He has prepared before us and partake of the bread and the cup, do we fully appreciate the cost that He paid to bring us to this table in faith? He looked down from heaven and He saw His disobedient sheep wandering down wrong paths that lead to death and destruction. And so, moved with compassion, He emptied Himself of His heavenly glory. And He came down. He came down to rescue us from ourselves. And having divested Himself of heavenly splendor, He clothed Himself with earthly suffering. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And He suffered the physical agony of the piercing nails and the spiritual dereliction of the crushing weight of our sins. Bearing our iniquities in His body on the cross, shedding His blood to wash away our sin and guilt and shame, so that by grace through faith we might be saved. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. When we come to the Lord's table that He has prepared before us, when we partake of the bread and drink of the cup, do we fully appreciate the cost of it? The cost that He paid to prepare this table before us. But there's more. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. The Lord anoints our heads with oil. A gracious host He is. He fills our cups to overflowing. A generous host He is. An opulent host pouring forth generosity, hospitality to us, His guests. The Hebrew word translated thou anointest is derived from a root that means abundance. Abundance. The Lord, our host, anoints His guests with abundance. You and I are not the guest of a host who is trying to do just as little as possible. No, the very opposite. We are the guest of a host who lavishes His abundance upon us. The abundance of His grace. The abundance of His love. The abundance of His goodness. The abundance of His mercy. Oh, You anoint us with abundance, gracious host. And in the abundance of His table, my cup runneth over. Oh, my cup overflows. Just as in the suffering of His cross, His cup was running over, His blood being poured out in suffering for us. He took upon Himself the cup of suffering and gives to us the cup of hospitality, welcoming us into His presence. Both cups running over. So let's feast on the abundance of His house. Let's drink from His river of delights. For the Lord our host welcomes us to His table as His honored guests, thereby restoring our communion. Wandering souls that we are, restoring our communion with Him. But being the generous host that He is, there's even more. His goodness and mercy follow me. As we read in the psalm, surely, certainly, without a doubt, unquestionably, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. As we look at the whole psalm, we see Him before us and we see Him behind us. He is before us, for He leads me beside still waters, and He leads me along paths of righteousness. As our shepherd, He is before us. And as our host, His goodness and mercy follow behind. He walks before us to quench our thirst, to correct our wanderings. And He walks behind us to provide goodness and mercy. And no matter what happens, all the days of our lives, His goodness and His mercy follow us. We don't think much about His goodness and mercy following us when our health is excellent and our income is ample and all is well with our family. But what about when your body breaks down? What about when you lose a job or have another financial setback? What about when there's too much month at the end of the money, even in February? What about when your family life is strained or broken or shattered, like an old, run-down bench. What about them? What about those seasons of discouragement? Those days of disappointment? Can we perceive His goodness and His mercy following us then? In my senior year of college, I applied to 3 different seminaries for the following academic year. My first choice, by far, was Dallas Theological Seminary. I was impressed with the caliber of their graduates whose ministry I had become acquainted with. Every graduate Dallas put out seemed to be top caliber. I really wanted to go there. First choice. I was impressed with the rigor and the depth of their academic program. The harder, the better. And Dallas looked hard. And then there's that Texas barbecue. So I applied to 3 seminaries, but Dallas was by far my very first choice. The other 2 didn't come close. A few weeks after applying to the 3 seminaries, I got a letter from Dallas. It was in a thin envelope. I knew what that meant, but I opened it anyway. It said that they were already filled for the upcoming academic year. There was no room for me, so I was not getting in. I was discouraged. I was disappointed. And I was kicking myself, literally. Why didn't I apply sooner? God, why didn't you make me apply sooner? Discouragement and disappointment set in. Profoundly. A couple of weeks later, I got another envelope in the mail, this time a thick one, from Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. Well, my first choice was out, so I guess I'll go with this one. I reluctantly enrolled at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. But it was not anywhere near my first choice. Disappointment, but it'll have to do. Immediately across from Trinity Evangelical Divinity School is Trinity College. The 2 campuses virtually adjoin each other. And the term when I began my studies at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, that very same term, there was a freshman beginning her studies at Trinity College. Rather, she was a sophomore. God had led her to transfer in from another school. And her name was Rhonda Reming. And so, after the discouragement and disappointment of being rejected by Dallas, goodness and mercy followed me to Trinity. Where God provided a lovely and cherished wife, a goodness and mercy that has lasted these 38 years. Disappointment, His appointment. No good thing does He withhold. From denials oft we gather treasures of His love untold. So when you experience discouragements, denials, disappointments, look for the goodness and mercy that's going to follow. It'll be there. He'll see to that. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And after the discouragement and disappointment comes the goodness and mercy. The Lord restores my communion with Him thereby. And then there's the best of all. The Lord restores my communion with Him by bringing me into His house. For the psalm says, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." For David, the human author of Psalm 23, the house of the Lord was the tabernacle where the very presence of God dwelt, there in the tabernacle. And so to say, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever," "I will dwell in the tabernacle of the Lord forever," is to say, "I will dwell in the presence of the Lord forever." And herein we discover the secret of the fruitful Christian life. Right here. "I will dwell in the house," the presence of the Lord. This is the secret of the fruitful Christian life. Daily practice the presence of God by abiding in Christ. That's ultimately what our host is after when he brings us to his table, when his goodness and mercy follow us. He wants us to dwell in his presence, in his tabernacle, and practice his presence by abiding in Christ, that we may bear fruit, fruit that lasts, fruit that remains. And so become habitually aware of Christ in you and of you in Christ. He will empower you to live a fruitful life that brings honor to God and joy to your heart. Oh, what an assurance we have. What an assurance. The Lord restores our communion with Him. He's present with us right here, right now, in this life, until He brings us into the courts of His heavenly tabernacle, where we will truly dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a host. What a host. What a host. And so as we've surveyed Psalm 23 over these three Sundays, we perceive a psalm of pilgrimage. In David's day, when a feast was approaching, the Israelites would make a pilgrimage from wherever they lived all across the land to the tabernacle, to celebrate the feast in the house of the Lord. And during their pilgrimage from their homes to the tabernacle, they needed the Lord to provide for them. They needed the Lord to lead them. They needed the Lord to keep them secure from danger. They needed a shepherd. And so, along the way, throughout the pilgrimage, the Lord was their shepherd. And He shepherded them, and they were His sheep. But once they arrived at the tabernacle, then they were at the house of the Lord. The pilgrimage was over, and so the shepherd became a host as he led them to his house. The Lord became their host, and they became his guests, and they enjoyed the feast at the Lord's table. You and I are pilgrims. We're just passing through this life. We are on a pilgrimage through this broken world of shadows to the house of the Lord. And during our pilgrimage, we need the Lord to shepherd us along the way. We need the Lord to restore our soul, to lead us to green pastures when we're hungry, to still waters when we're thirsty, to right paths when we wander. And we need to be delivered from fear. We need the Lord to restore our security, to keep us from fear when our pilgrimage takes us through the darkest valleys on our way to higher ground. On our pilgrimage, we need the Lord to be our shepherd. But the day will come when our pilgrimage will be over. We will arrive. All we who believe in Christ, we will arrive at the house of the Lord. And then the Lord will become our host, and we will become his guests. And he will prepare a table before us, a lavish table, and we will dine at the wedding supper of the Lamb. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our communion with him fully restored. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above.